This is Jay Sekulow. Breaking news. The embassy in Jerusalem opened.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
In the last 7 years, the Middle East went through an earthquake.
Today, the group Hamas declared a day of rage, urging attacks on Israelis.
If you step back and look at the picture, you can see the circle enclosing around Israel.
This conflict has never been about establishing a Palestinian state. It's always been about the existence of a Jewish state.
Jewish wedding in Israel interrupted by air raid sirens.
Human shielding pays today. Why did you put the rocket there next to the school? That's the person that committed a crime against humanity.
BDS is a new form of anti-Semitism. The call to boycott the state of Israel, to divest investment from the state of Israel.
Graphic new video of violent protests and terror attacks coming out of Israel.
We are the same people who literally glorify and incentivize terrorists.
They pay them. They pay the terrorist families to kill Jews. That messaging will continue. So we've got to be prepared to be aggressive in fighting it anytime it raises.
People say BDS, boycott, divestment, sanctions. How come is it that you automatically mean Israel?
The entire conception of this is to destroy Israel by turning Israel into an oppressor and using all these different instrumentalities, not just warfare on the battlefield, but lawfare.
When they say that Israel should be wiped out, that they mean it?
I don't have the luxury not to believe it.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Welcome to broadcast, everyone. Well, it's official. The embassy move is complete. Today is the first full day of operation for the United States Embassy in Israel in Jerusalem. We are giving you the case for protecting Israel, protecting the Promised Land, on this special broadcasting that we've set up this week to celebrate this historic time in Israel's history and, frankly, in the United States history as well. It's historically significant for two reasons. Number one, a sovereign nation, Israel, has the right to determine where its capital is. In this particular case, it has been Jerusalem, the eternal capital of the Jewish people, of the Jewish state of Israel. That's number one. Number two, we're just complying with international law, recognizing that a sovereign nation's capital is where that sovereign nation says its capital is. So this was also symbolically significant because it's not just the United States. Now, later in the week, Guatemala is going to be recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and other governments are now saying they're going to do the same thing. So you've got this move. It takes this issue off the table. Now, on the broadcast today, we're talking about a case for Israel, protecting the Promised Land. And by the way, this is a special that we put together, but you can get the whole special on our website as well.
You can get that at acljfilms.com. Again, acljfilms.com will have that available. So you can find that right there. It's Protecting the Promised Land. It's a new full-length documentary by our team at ACLJ Films. Fantastic piece. So you sit down, have a round table. We also have news pieces, round table with some of the leaders from Israel.
And it is now official, as that we're coming to you today, the United States of America's embassy for the United States, for Israel, is now located in Jerusalem. This is something we've been working on for over 20 years.
Yeah, it's a big deal. It's a lot bigger deal than maybe even some have seen, as we've seen these big moves in the last 12, 24 months, or 12 months really, for Jerusalem. And we put together this piece at ACLJ Films that you're really going to enjoy. You're going to hear excerpts from that today throughout the rest of the show. However, if you want to see the full-length documentary that we've put together, all you have to do is go to acljfilms.com and follow the instructions on how to watch it, where to watch it. It'll all be available there again on acljfilms.com. And make sure you share that with your friends. Go share that link. It's something that they need to see. They need to know why it's important for Jerusalem to be the capital. They also need to know why it's important and why Israel and all these things happen in such a small country, and why it makes such a huge difference around the world. Again, that's at acljfilms.com.
All right, we're going to be back with more on this, including our special. This is a great program we put together. What a week to celebrate Israel. What a week to celebrate the United States' recognition of Jerusalem as the capital with the move of the embassy. Back with more in a moment.
Jerusalem. There's no place on earth like it. It seems this extraordinary city is always in the news, but that's especially true right now. All this month, TBN is celebrating the 70th anniversary of Israel's founding and the historic move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing this holy, ancient city as Israel's true capital. It's a bold and courageous move, one that has ignited a firestorm of criticism around the world. Helping you understand why is the focus of my brand new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. I've argued numerous cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I've defended Israel before the United Nations and the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now in my new book, I'm bringing you the powerful arguments and the insights necessary for you to understand the importance of defending Israel. I'm proud to have partnered with TBN in bringing you this book. From our beginning, TBN has been proclaiming the truth about Israel to the entire world. For this month only, TBN will send you my new book in appreciation for your best gift of support for the Israel-honoring outreaches of TBN. Frankly, the people of Israel need our support now more than ever. That's why I believe this book may be the most important book I've ever written or ever will write. Vicious anti-Israel sentiment and boycotts are spreading like a cancer around the world. The goal? Isolate and weaken Israel. For some, the objective is to wipe her from the map completely. We cannot let that happen. Call, click, or write today to receive this book and join us as we fight the rising tide of distortions and lies with biblical truth about this miraculous nation and her eternal capital, Jerusalem.
From New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow comes his new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available on TBN.org. That's TBN.org.
Yes, everyone, is today's the day that the embassy is officially moved to Jerusalem. We've got special programming on this entire issue, the case for defending the promised land.
We have a generation that's growing up. I call them the two-stage or the post-Oslo generation. The narrative they've gotten is false. The narrative they've gotten is that Israel is an illegal occupier. And therefore, anything Israel does starts off in the wrong, right? Because they're trying to maintain an illegal presence. That's not true. And it's perverse. And look, the history of anti-Semitism, which leads to Jewish destruction, has been the same since the Bible, right? We know that Pharaoh begins it, but it never changes. There's a blood libel. The term blood libel is created about the way the Jews have been treated around the world. And now the corporate body of Jews is the state of Israel. And so now we have blood libels about Israel, and they play out in diplomacy, in the law, especially in international circles. And let me tell you how perverse it is. I mean, maybe you know this example, but I'm not sure how many people know this example. A number of years ago, out of Israel, A very liberal university student put together a paper, a study, said, why is it that Israeli soldiers are so moral that they won't violate Arab women? Right? It often happens in warfare, soldiers do very violent things. Why won't they do it? And the conclusion was, because Israel is so evil that they've so dehumanized their enemy that they won't even violate them. In other words, you take the most moral army in the world and you pervert it just to find a way to say Israel is war criminals. It's outrageous. But this this is playing out as a way to turn Israel into a pariah state. And exactly what David's talking about in terms of human shields, they know that people will fall prey to this and are gullible for this. And this is the front in which Israel is fighting. And it comes down to tying Israel's hands to physically defend itself against its attacks by using all these instrumentalities around the world.
I just want to also make it clear that we're not only talking about international forum. We at ACLJ, right, we've already defended one major federal case in Washington, D.C.
Right.
Against the state of Israel. We're defending another one right now. And the most important weapon in their arsenal right now is imprecision. Everyone knows in technological fields, precision in language is important. Otherwise, your program won't compile. It's more dangerous in law because the program might still compile even if it's wrong,
right,
and people don't catch those imprecisions. Yeah. And so, again, conflating these terms, it's coming to America now as well. We have to be very careful.
I actually look at the issue when we talk about the lawsuit you're talking about that we defended in U.S. District Court in Washington. But yet again, it's kind of an international tribunal in this sense. It's the ability to utilize legal systems there now in the United States. There it could be in France, it could be in the United Kingdom, but we experienced it in the United States, where we had to go to the court to defend what was, in our view, a ridiculous lawsuit, 200 pages thick. But we had to litigate that case for over a year to get it to a resolution. Of course, now it's being appealed. All of that being done for one purpose and one purpose only,
delegitimize Israel. Literally in this litigation, they were attempting to, and I'm going to get into more of this in a moment, re-litigate, so to speak, the entire Arab-Palestinian-Israel conflict.
Israel has long supported a two-state solution with Palestinians. The other side, however, has consistently rejected peace. Here's how. Britain took control of the Middle East in 1917 after the fall of the Ottoman Empire. In the years that followed, Palestinian Arabs waged a nationalist uprising. In response to the unrest, Britain formed the Peel Commission and proposed a two-state solution so that Arabs and Jews could peacefully govern their respective lands. The Arabs rejected this. In 1947, the United Nations pressed forward and voted in favor of a two-state solution. The Arabs rejected this as well. In the subsequent year, Israel officially proclaimed itself a state. Furious, the Arabs enlisted help from Jordanian, Syrian, Iraqi, and Egyptian forces and engaged in war with Israel. The Arabs failed. The land that had been slated for the Palestinians was now occupied by Jordan. Today, this region is known as the West Bank and East Jerusalem. In 1967, the Arabs waged yet another war on Israel. After 6 days, it ended with Israel controlling the West Bank. The Arab League met after the war and declared, "No peace with Israel, no recognition of Israel, no negotiations with Israel." It's a chilling resolve that echoes even to this day. In 2000, then President Clinton met with both the Israeli Prime Minister and the Palestinian Liberation Organization chairman in hopes of resuming peace talks. The Israeli Prime Minister offered up all of Gaza, 94% of the West Bank and East Jerusalem, as the capital of a new Palestinian state. The offer was rejected, yet Israel unilaterally withdrew from Gaza. In the subsequent years, the Arabs continued to wreak havoc on Israel with suicide bombers on buses, in wedding halls, and in public squares. Thousands of innocent Israelis have lost their lives. In 2008, Israel once again proposed a two-state solution to the newly appointed president of the Palestinian Authority. Palestinians rejected the offer. Now Gaza is a hotbed for Hamas and is used by Palestinians to launch deadly rockets into Israel. Time and time again, Palestinians have sent a clear message. It has no desire to make peace with the state of Israel, even though Israel remains committed to a peaceful two-state solution.
The Palestinian Authority is a bit of a misnomer, and that is people will say, well, can't we have two sides sit down and negotiate peace? People want to avoid war. They want to avoid conflict. Can't you just have two sides come down and negotiate peace? The problem is in the Middle East, specifically within the situation with the Israelis and the Palestinian Authority, again, you better think nine-dimensionally because there's not just two sides there. David?
Of course. Well, if you take the Palestinian arena, you know, you could theoretically sit down with the moderate Palestinians and work out some kind of agreement. But even if you succeed in doing that, there'll be a very large number of people, okay, who will do everything they can to derail that agreement. I mean, we've seen it before. We've actually seen how any progress on an agreement automatically brings about a spike in terror attacks. And of course, Hamas have wasted no time in saying that their aim remains to wipe out the state of Israel. Even that doesn't fit in with what the Palestinian Authority is supposed to be saying.
And how do you negotiate with an adversary who's still calling for your destruction?
And has no authority, puts that in the title. Even the title itself is misleading. If you think about a Palestinian Authority, you would think someone who has the authority to speak on behalf of a group or govern a group, but when in fact they don't. They barely govern a half of their territory. And even under that, you can make an argument that without the United States or Israel, that authority would no longer exist either. It would be overrun by more extreme terrorist groups.
I think we also have to be careful not to give too much credit to the quote-unquote moderate Palestinians. Remember, these are the same people who literally glorify and incentivize terrorists.
They pay them. They pay the terrorist families to kill Jews.
And they don't hide it. It's literally published in their budget.
The notion of moderate versus extreme is at least the extreme guys tell the truth. Hamas guys say, yeah, we want to destroy you. We want to destroy Israel. We want to destroy America. You know, the so-called moderates They lie to us sometimes, but they've never departed from their ultimate goal of destroying Israel.
So we've discussed the issue of the, you know, negotiating with the Palestinian Authority when they're not really an authority. But then we need to talk about the Palestinians as a people, because there's this call for two-state solutions. But you have to ask yourself this question. I ask myself this question. I'm sure our audience is thinking the same thing. Why have not the Arab neighbors, world, so to speak, rallied to the Palestinian cause, not from an incitement standpoint of getting them to conduct an intifada, but absorbing them within their own culture? Why the hesitation?
Well, they've wanted to keep the conflict alive.
Now for 60 or 70 years, yes.
The fact is, you know, there have been so many conflicts in history, just in this century, the last century alone, there have been millions of refugees of all sorts from all sorts of conflicts. All those refugees are now no longer refugees. But the Palestinians are refugees since 1948. And that situation is being perpetuated, of course, by the fact that you have one UN agency which is devoted entirely to dealing with Palestinians, and one other UN agency for refugees which deals with all the other refugees in the world. It's a self-perpetuating situation, perpetuated by the UN and also by these countries who've wanted to keep this wound open for so long.
So their own people group will not absorb them.
Yeah, look, it's extraordinary, Jay. I mean, you know, at the same time that this happened, the creation of the State of Israel, there were a lot of nation states were being created in the Middle East. Meanwhile, about 800,000 Jews who had been in the Middle East for centuries, for millennia, were thrown out, chased out, hounded out of the Middle Eastern countries and found refuge in Israel, which absorbed them. A tiny little country, absorbed them and built. And by the way, took care of its own minority. There is not a country in the region that treats Arabs or Muslims better than Israel does.
Right.
And so they absorbed the Jews, they took care of Arabs and Muslims within their borders, and yet the notion of it's not that the Palestinian situation is being perpetuated, it was created in order to destroy Israel. You know, before there was a Palestinian flag before the State of Israel, it was a Jewish star on a field of blue and white, because there was never a separate concept of an Arab entity called Palestinians. There was never a Palestine. The entire conception of this is to destroy Israel by turning Israel into an oppressor and using all these different instrumentalities, not just warfare on the battlefield, but lawfare, you know, going into the courts of public opinion and turning Israel into an oppressor, turning this into a human rights issue, and it's all a creation in order to demonize and ultimately destroy the State of Israel.
But you have a situation where the populace within the region is producing the conflict for their own purposes.
All right, we'll be back with more from our film, Protecting the Promised Land, which again, full-length film available right now on acljfilms.com. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem, there's no place on earth like it. It seems this extraordinary city is always in the news, but that's especially true right now. All this month, TBN is celebrating the 70th anniversary of Israel's founding and the historic move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing this holy, ancient city as Israel's true capital. It's a bold and courageous move, one that has ignited a firestorm of criticism around the world. Helping you understand why is the focus of my brand new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. I've argued numerous cases before the U.S. Supreme Court, and I've defended Israel before the United Nations and the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now in my new book, I'm bringing you the powerful arguments and the insights necessary for you to understand the importance of defending Israel. I'm proud to have partnered with TBN in bringing you this book. From our beginning, TBN has been proclaiming the truth about Israel to the entire world. For this month only, TBN will send you my new book in appreciation for your best gift of support for the Israel-honoring outreaches of TBN. Frankly, the people of Israel need our support now more than ever. That's why I believe this book may be the most important book I've ever written or ever will write. Vicious anti-Israel sentiment and boycotts are spreading like a cancer around the world. The goal? Isolate and weaken Israel. For some, the objective is to wipe her from the map completely. We cannot let that happen. Call, click, or write today to receive this book and join us as we fight the rising tide of distortions and lies with biblical truth about this miraculous nation and her eternal capital, Jerusalem.
From New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow comes his new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available on TBN.org. That's TBN.org.
officially moved to Jerusalem. We've got special programming on this entire issue, the case for defending the Promised Land.
I'm before you today, and it's a humbling experience for me. My grandfather, Shmuel Ezekielo, traveled from Russia in 1914 aboard a boat that took him past the Statue of Liberty. He was a fruit peddler in Brooklyn, New York. His grandson, me, I get to argue cases at the Supreme Court of the United States, in international tribunals, and now appear before you. It is humbling. But the task that we have before us is great. And we have no time for delay. In one of my very first Supreme Court arguments, one of the legal journals said I was rude, aggressive, and obnoxious. We won that case unanimously. In 2009, we opened our permanent office in Jerusalem. 1 year later, I found myself before the International Criminal Court in The Hague, the ICC. The Palestinian Authority, much like the BDS movement of today, sought to utilize an international tribunal for one purpose and one purpose only, to delegitimize the Jewish state of Israel. I argued the law, and the law was clear. The Palestinian Authority was not a state. It had no business being before the ICC, and the case must be dismissed. BDS is the flip side of that same coin. We call it lawfare, utilizing the legal system to delegitimize a people or a group.
The latest harvest is ready for bottling at Psagot, an Israeli winery in the West Bank. Owner Jacob Berg says business is growing, but so is a boycott movement against his wine.
It's not the final customer. It's not the majority of the world that believe in those things. It's really a little, it's very, very small organization, few organization. The problem is that they have a lot of power and they have a lot of money.
That organization is BDS, the Boycott, Divestment, and Sanctions Movement. Co-founder Omar Barghouti started BDS a decade ago to force Israel to end what he says is a system of discrimination against Palestinians. His movement has activists in many countries and tens of thousands of followers on social media.
Support for the BDS movement has been growing on British campuses, but critics accuse it of fueling anti-Semitism and attacks against Jewish students.
No one protected us. No one was there to keep us safe. No one was there for the aftermath of it. No one asked if we were okay.
People breaking through windows, banging on the doors. I thought I was in the middle of a war.
We've had a number of cases with a number of students that have stood up for their rights, but the reason they had to stand up for their rights was because they were being attacked, sometimes physically, sometimes verbally, because of their stand on Israel. And it's not just Jewish students we're talking about.
Yeah, the university campus is an excellent place to start because the lie that BDS feeds off of is that this is not anti-Semitism, it's anti-Zionism or anti-Israel. And yet you see students who have literally no ties to the state but are just Jewish or have said things like, I support the state of Israel without any kind of political ramifications being attacked and even again up to physically attacked, being harassed. And it's important again as well, you know, ACLJ, we're a free speech supporting organization. There's a difference between legitimate criticism of Israel and what BDS is. BDS is not the legitimate criticism of Israel. BDS is feeding on the kind of imprecision and distorted tactics that we talked about when we were discussing lawfare to make Israel into a pariah and then to create this false sense of civil rights that feeds on impressionable young students.
What I would like to say is that perhaps the most outrageous thing about BDS is its very name. Because people say BDS, Boycott, Divestment, Sanctions. How come is it that you automatically mean Israel? There are so many countries in the world which deserve, really deserve to be boycotted, divested, sanctioned. And yet you say BDS, of course, what could it be other than Israel? That in itself is just so outrageous and surreal.
We shouldn't forget, you know, people think that boycott, divestment, and sanctions might not be the biggest deal, that when the Nazis came to power, the first thing that they did was set a boycott of Jewish businesses.
That's how effective their propaganda campaign has been, that acronym. It refers to Israel and Israel only. With all the horrors going on in the world, BDS stands for Israel. And that's one of the things that we continuously work on here at the American Center, is really educating people following our work as to what the methodology and the approaches are of this enemy out there that is spreading this misinformation campaign throughout the world, but on college campuses in the United States, because BDS, in terms of economic boycott and sanctions and divestiture, really hasn't been that successful.
No, it has not.
But what it has done, it has helped promulgate an anti-Semitism on college campuses throughout this country that is unprecedented.
You know, I've said that the BDS movement has encouraged a legitimacy, which is illegitimate to begin with, of anti-Semitism. In other words, they'll say, though, of course, it's not anti-Semitic, Jeff, it's anti-Israel because of Israel's policies, not against the Jews. But as I said at the beginning of this documentary, I will say it again, that is part and parcel of the same people group. And this dichotomy they're trying to draw, this distinction, is a distinction with no difference.
100%. You know, when we started getting involved in this and very aggressive taking leadership roles as ACLJ in this fight on so many levels, one of the things that kept on coming up was some of the other groups, many of the other groups, especially, you know, the Jewish groups were concerned, we shouldn't make it about Jews, we shouldn't make it about Israel. Let's try to generically make rules against boycott. Well, you know what? This is about Jews. It is about Israel. This is a real fight. It's a fight in law.
Well, you know, I think, and Mark pointed out what's really important is, you know, the purpose of the BDS movement is to delegitimize Israel and Jews. And that's exactly what happened in Europe before and during the Holocaust, is just delegitimizing Jews and making them worthless and people that were not worthy of living. And so on our college campuses today, these Jewish students go to school, and you can imagine as parents, you send your child to college to enjoy the college life, and they're hit with this vigilant form of anti-Semitism that's emotionally, physically, and destabilizing their entire career at their school and maybe their future.
But I think it's important for you to say again the fact that when you look at BDS, it is targeted, very targeted, and very direct.
Cannot ignore the fact that only one country in the entire world is being picked on here. And which one is it? It's the Jewish one. Only one country is being singled out for this treatment. Only one.
You look at a country like Iran, that's one of the greatest human rights violators in the entire world. And after this Iran nuclear deal was reached, you have companies from
flocking
all over the world flocking to do business in Iran. But is there a boycott of Iranian goods? No. In fact, the world is encouraged to go in there, and they have a track record of abusing their own citizens and foreigners.
Well, we've won in court on these BDS attempts. The fact is, it still creates this impression that it's okay to target Israel. And that's part of the battle.
All right, we'll be back with more from our film, Protecting the Promised Land, which again, full-length film available right now on acljfilms.com. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Today's the day that the embassy has officially moved to Jerusalem. We've got special programming on this entire issue, the case for defending the Promised Land.
What's becoming shocking is that in this last maybe 10 years, even young Jews who are on college campus feel so much pressure and so much strain to join this, or rather than be ostracized, that they're turning against the state of Israel. And this is something which we obviously cannot continue. This cannot continue. And we have to fight this legally, but also in terms of the information flow, constantly getting the word out.
What's unbelievably fascinating, Jay, there's an old Talmudic saying that God creates the antidote before he creates the sickness. And one of the reasons why the anti-BDS bills are actually totally and perfectly legal comes back to a case that Pleasant Grove versus Sumim, that the ACLJ argued in 2009. And that
involving a Ten Commandments monument in outside of Nevada.
And who would have thought that was the reason why anti-BDS bills are fine? Because it reaffirmed the fact that government speech is fine, and that governments are allowed to take a position and espouse a policy, even if it's anti someone else's policy. And that's exactly why these anti-BDS bills are legal, because the government is not required to support BDS. That would be crazy. They're allowed to say that we don't want to engage in this form of discrimination.
When the government engages in speech to create a message, and it's the government speaking, the government has the right to do it. We argued that case and won that case at the Supreme Court 9-0 unanimously. David.
You cannot ignore the fact that only one country in the entire world is being picked on here. And which one is it? It's the Jewish one. And that's what's wrong with BDS. You know, if there was a BDS in all sorts of other contexts, maybe I would have to concede, all right, this is, they're not just picking on Israel. But that's what points out the inherent anti-Semitism in it. And yeah, sure, Jewish students might be confused because they might be critical of Israel, but they need to step back and look at the big picture. Only one country is being singled out for this treatment. Only one.
And we should be clear, we're not helping the Palestinians either. By putting hundreds of Palestinians out of jobs in the West Bank, you're actually hurting the cause and making peace even more unlikely.
In fact, the best chance for at least some kind of stability or prosperity, a decent life for Palestinians today, while it's so difficult to negotiate a final settlement, okay, is for at least a level of economic prosperity, which BDS is actually undermining.
But I think it's important for you to say again the fact that when you look at BDS, it is targeted, and very direct.
You look at a country like Iran, that's one of the greatest human rights violators in the entire world. And after this Iran nuclear deal was reached, you have companies from
flocking
all over the world flocking to do business in Iran. Persian rugs are still being exported all over the world from Iran. But is there a boycott of Iranian goods? No. In fact, the world is encouraged to go in there, and they have a track record of abusing their own citizens and foreigners.
So here's the question that you've got to ask yourself. Well, we've won in court on these BDS attempts. The fact is, it still creates this impression that it's okay to target Israel. And that's part of the battle here.
Well, you know, thank God Congress heard testimony last year from Jonathan Schanzer, a former U.S. Treasury official, about the fact that Hamas is actually funding the BDS movement. And we've seen on campus a real drop in BDS support after it became clear that there are operatives and money flowing through from terrorist organizations, U.S. designated terrorist organizations, to the BDS movement. And so I think they've lost a little bit of the moral high ground on that point.
And they lost the moral high ground, and still we're also beating them in court.
Yeah.
So the courts are saying to them, no.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. They've tried their approach in federal courts throughout the country, and they've lost their position.
They keep bringing them back, but they keep losing.
And they've been rejected quickly and outright.
Yeah. But the question, I think the issue persists, though, David. I mean, I think that this idea that, as you said, targeting it against, you say BDS, you assume Israel, because that's the way it is, that messaging will continue.
All right, we'll be back with more from our film, Protecting the Promised Land, which, again, full-length film available right now on acljfilms.com. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem, there's no place on earth like it. It seems this extraordinary city is always in the news, but that's especially true right now.
All this month, TBN is celebrating the 70th anniversary of Israel's founding and the historic move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing this holy, ancient city as Israel's true capital. It's a bold and courageous move, one that has ignited a firestorm of criticism around the world. Helping you understand why is the focus of my brand new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. I've argued numerous cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I've defended Israel before the United Nations and the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now in my new book, I'm bringing you the powerful arguments and the insights necessary for you to understand the importance of defending Israel. I'm proud to have partnered with TBN in bringing you this book. From our beginning, TBN has been proclaiming the truth about Israel to the entire world. For this month only, TBN will send you my new book in appreciation for your best gift of support for the Israel-honoring outreaches of TBN. Frankly, the people of Israel need our support now more than ever. That's why I believe this book may be the most important book I've ever written or ever will write. Vicious anti-Israel sentiment and boycotts are spreading like a cancer around the world. The goal? Isolate and weaken Israel. For some, the objective is to wipe her from the map completely. We cannot let that happen. Call, click, or write today to receive this book and join us as we fight the rising tide of distortions and lies with biblical truth about this miraculous nation and her eternal capital, Jerusalem.
From New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow comes his new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available on TBN.org. That's TBN.org. And only God knows when the calm of the storm begins. The basis of all this is going to end. When nations can live in peace, struggle and battles cease under the hope of truth.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Today's the day that the embassy has officially moved to Jerusalem. We've got special programming on this entire issue, the case for defending the promised land.
BDS is a new form of anti-Semitism. Today, it's not politically correct to say, I hate Jews. So you say, I hate the state of Israel. The call to boycott the state of Israel, to divest investment from the state of Israel, and to apply sanctions. We should not accept it. It's pure anti-Semitism. We shouldn't be quiet when you hear people that call for the destruction of the state of Israel. What we did at the UN was remarkable. We stood proud and we said we are here to fight back against BDS. We will fight them on campuses. We will fight them in the courts of law, what you are doing day in and day out. And we will fight them in the halls of the UN.
They cloak it in the garb of the civil rights movement. This is no civil rights movement. This is an unconstitutional and illegal advocacy taking place in the United States of America. Make no mistake, the goal is unambiguous. The intent is clear. It is to create an environment so hostile that those students of you that are here today would be afraid to say the word, I am a Zionist. I am a Jew. Never, never, on the memory of our families, should we allow that to take place, and the least in the United States of America.
How dangerous is a BDS movement if it's left unchecked? If you don't fight back, if you don't speak out, if you don't go to court.
We cannot sit idly by when we see what the BDS is doing. They try to control the narrative. They try to influence the next generation on campuses, telling them that we are occupiers, that we are killing poor Palestinians. They are lying to the American people. That's why we have to stand back, show the facts, and let the people to decide about what's happening in Israel today. They are liars, and we should call their lies.
The effort to delegitimize the state of Israel being waged on college campuses and the anti-Israel obsession at the UN are one and the same. They both seek to deny Israel's right to exist. They are both efforts to intimidate her friends and embolden her enemies. They are both extensions of an ancient hatred. And how tragic is it that of all countries in the world to condemn for human rights violations. These voices choose to single out Israel. We should boycott North Korea. We should sanction Iran. We should divest from Syria, not Israel. It makes absolutely no sense, and it has no connection to any reasonable definition of justice.
All right, I want to take this final section and talk about what we've done. We've talked about the cases we've litigated. We've talked about the issues. We've talked about the United Nations. The question now is, how important is our position to be vigilant as it relates to the state of Israel? Rami.
Well, I can talk to you as an ex-diplomat for the state of Israel, as a citizen of Israel, and as the CEO of the American Center for Law and Justice in Jerusalem. Since 2002, when we met first, you and the ACLJ have been helping the state of Israel be stronger, defend Israel. I can give an example in 2002 and in 2006, where you personally, Jay, saved the Israeli economy. The Israeli economy was about to be bankrupt because of war, because of the Intifada, then because of the second Lebanon war. I was called by the ministers in Jerusalem to ask me about the Israel friend in Washington that can help us with the State Department and with the President of the United States. You turned off the travel warning against Israel, which literally saved the Israeli economy, saved jobs for millions of people, saved the trade between Israel and the world, because without what you've done, foreign businessmen would not come to Israel, foreign tourists would not come to Israel, and that's just the first example. And what you've done at the UN, Jordan and Jay, and of course Stuart, has been a blessing to the state of Israel. I just met Danny Danon, Israel's ambassador to the UN in Jerusalem, when he came with Nikki Haley, the American ambassador. And you should have heard the praise from Danny Danon, the ambassador for Israel, about what ACLJ has done. I can say that every government arm that we've been working with in Israel, David Benjamin and I in Jerusalem, starting with the Prime Minister's office, I personally sat with the Prime Minister a few years ago discussing the warfare and the lawfare and what you've done. The Ministry of Justice in Israel, whenever there is a need to defend Israel on any front, which is international, they call us, they ask us to have the ACLJ involved. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, same thing. The legal department is in touch with us on monthly basis on different projects. Skip Ash comes over many times to help. And if I can say it in one word, the Israeli citizens thank the ACLJ.
Well, we couldn't do it without our member support. So those of you that support the work of the ACLJ were able to engage these issues. David, we have to engage these issues. I mentioned this on our radio broadcast. We're responding right now to a series of, we've got three major legal projects going on right now, responding to something we're not actually seeing. We know what's basically in it because we know the arguments, but these are not transparent agencies we're dealing with.
You know, there's a huge wide world out there, and I'm not exaggerating, there's this ongoing onslaught on so many fronts against Israel, just in the legal sphere alone, not to mention the public opinion sphere. And it is a wonderful thing, and I'm saying this because I'm aware of what ACLJ is doing, that ACLJ is standing up to this onslaught wherever it happens. Perhaps one of the main focal points today is in the International Criminal Court, where the Palestinians are doing their utmost to try and get Israel or Israelis dragged in front of the court. Many, many other organizations and elements are behind that too. Right. We have no shortage of enemies, and they all realize that this is a place where they might have some chance of success, and ACLJ is right there. And as you say, just recently the Palestinian Authority submitted a 700-page brief to the ICC. They gave it a lot of airtime. They gave a big press conference about it, but we don't know what was in it. So there's no real opportunity to defend oneself against it.
So you defend based on what you think it might be.
What you think it might be.
But again, we've had success. We're committed to continuing it. And that means we have to be vigilant.
Well, Jay, I think for those individuals that follow the work of the ACLJ, I think it's important for them to understand that Israel is one of our priorities. We have attorneys working on matters related to Israel every single day. They're dedicated to the defense of the state of Israel. You know, the War of Independence was in 1948, but we've been battling ever since. I mean, I would love to say that it's over, but it's not over. Every single day we wake up, you open the paper, you open your email, you see the news. Israel is always in the forefront.
And there's also the issue, and I think we have to be clear on this, that, and a lot of people do not know this until we do programs like this and documentaries like this, we actually have an office in Jerusalem that is fully functional. With Rami's there, David's there, we've got teams there. It's important to be, I call it the ministry of presence. You got to be on the ground engaging these issues at the forefront. And your support of the ACLJ continues to allow us to do that.
Yeah, and all of our attorneys, you know, can't be on a television broadcast, can't be on a radio show every day. And Rami brought up Skip Ash, one of our senior attorneys. He's been on a radio broadcast a number of times from our military standpoint. We have teams like that, but they've got teams also working with them as well. So I think for everybody out there to understand the importance of the actual manpower behind our efforts is important, because we are in the media a lot as commentators, and we have the radio broadcast and we're speaking on these issues now, but we have whole teams of people where we don't just talk about these issues. We actually live it, and we have either we have our staff living it, whether they're reserves in the IDF or veterans of our own military, and in courtrooms as well. So we actually take these issues and live them out every single day. And we know our supporters, that's why they support the ACLJ, so that we can work on those issues, whether they're at home here in the United States or in the state of Israel.
We just laid out the case. It's for our own interest, the interests of our allies. It's based on the law. It's based on the scriptures. It's based on decency and humanity. The case for Israel.
All right, we'll be back with more from our film, Protecting the Promised Land, which again, full-length film available right now on ACLJfilms.com.
Jerusalem, there's no place on earth like it. It seems this extraordinary city is always in the news, but that's especially true right now. All this month, TBN is celebrating the 70th anniversary of Israel's founding and the historic move of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, recognizing this holy, ancient city as Israel's true capital. It's a bold and courageous move, one that has ignited a firestorm of criticism around the world. Helping you understand why is the focus of my brand new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. I've argued numerous cases before the U.S. Supreme Court. And I've defended Israel before the United Nations and the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Now in my new book, I'm bringing you the powerful arguments and the insights necessary for you to understand the importance of defending Israel. I'm proud to have partnered with TBN in bringing you this book. From our beginning, TBN has been proclaiming the truth about Israel to the entire world. For this month only, TBN will send you my new book in appreciation for your best gift of support for the Israel-honoring outreaches of TBN. Frankly, the people of Israel need our support now more than ever. That's why I believe this book may be the most important book I've ever written or ever will write. Vicious anti-Israel sentiment and boycotts are spreading like a cancer around the world. The goal? Isolate and weaken Israel. For some, the objective is to wipe her from the map completely. We cannot let that happen. Call, click, or write today to receive this book and join us as we fight the rising tide of distortions and lies with biblical truth about this miraculous nation and her eternal capital, Jerusalem.
From New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow comes his new book, Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital. Available on TBN.org. That's TBN.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Is today's the day that the embassy has officially moved to Jerusalem? We've got special programming on this entire issue, the case for defending the promised land.
Jeff, if I were to say, all right, here's the issue. Why should the United States be defending Israel? What would your answer be?
Well, I think there are multiple answers. And I think that in terms of strategic interest, there is no question that Israel is the front line in a war that's been going on, maybe that people in America or in Europe aren't really aware of, but people in the Middle East are very well aware of. It is a generational war. They have designs on conquest. And certainly, we saw also the opening of the documentary, America's the Great Satan. It's not just Israel's flags being burned, it's America's flags being burned. Israel is seen as a proxy for America there because Israel is, in many ways, is representative of freedom, of a liberal Western civilization and culture that they're trying to wipe out.
I was a rabbi before I became a lawyer, so indulge me. But the rabbis tell us the first word in the Torah is Bereshit in the beginning. And the rabbis say Bereshit stands for Bishvil Yisrael, for the sake of Israel, Shenikra Reshit, that is called the first. And so the world, according to the rabbis, was created for the sake of Israel, so that it should be there as the flagship and the first and the moral leader. And when I look at the state of Israel, again, I see the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I see what the rabbis say when they talk about it is the nation that the eyes of God are on it always. And for it to exist, the eyes of God have to be on it always, because it's always been at the center of something. And I really think that that is the sort of fulfillment of the biblical prophecy.
There'll be people that say that they don't dispute the right of Israel to exist. But it's not just the right of Israel to exist. It's the right of Israel to exist as a Jewish state. And when I emphasize that when I'm speaking, it becomes very personal for me, because an entire side of my family was killed in the Holocaust. And in our family cemetery in New York, there are 200 names of my relatives that were killed at a concentration camp or several concentration camps during the Nazi regime. So the right to Israel to exist is one thing. The right to Israel to exist as a Jewish state is what the real issue and the real battle is all about.
It really is an honor to stand here at the United Nations, of all places, celebrating and not condemning the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem. Because we all know what happens here almost on a daily basis at the United Nations. So it is historic for us to all be here tonight celebrating a reunified Jerusalem and the capital of Israel. Fifty years is a very special number in the Jewish tradition. The rabbis noted in the ancient biblical text a period of 50 years is sometimes referred to by the word le'olam. It also means forever. In the Talmud, Rabbi Akiva says that the word netzach, which means eternity or victory, refers to the city of Jerusalem itself. In this case, I think it's very clear that while we are celebrating the netzach, the victory of the first 50 years of having Jerusalem reunited, we are also celebrating the netzach, the eternity of having Jerusalem reunited forever under the Jewish state of Israel. We, the supporters of Israel and the supporters of Jerusalem, must be on the offensive. We must shift the narrative. It cannot just be all of us on the defensive anymore. For civil liberties, for religious freedom, for true democracy, Israel is the only country in that region of the world that stands up to the values that we hold so dear in the United States of America. And the best way to combat lies is with truth.
We know that you understand that the story of Israel, in many ways, the rebirth of Israel, and our return to this land and to this city, I think you understand in your hearts that this is a parable for all humanity.
In 1948, Israel, as a nation, received this body. But in 1967, with Jerusalem, Israel had a heart. We are proud to support Israel, proud to celebrate Jerusalem now, le'olam, forever.
It is time to officially recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. While previous presidents have made this a major campaign promise, they failed to deliver. Today, I am delivering. I've judged this course of action to be in the best interests of the United States of America and the pursuit of peace between Israel and the Palestinians. This is a long overdue step to advance the peace process and to work towards a lasting agreement. Israel is a sovereign nation with the right, like every other sovereign nation, to determine its own capital. Acknowledging this is a fact is a necessary condition for achieving peace. It was 70 years ago that the United States, under President Truman, recognized the State of Israel. Ever since then, Israel has made its capital in the city of Jerusalem, the capital the Jewish people established in ancient times. Today, we finally acknowledge the obvious, that Jerusalem is Israel's capital.
Some people suggest that the United States would just break ties with Israel. All our problems in the Middle East would go away. This is a tired argument that buys into the propaganda of the enemies of peace. And America utterly rejects it.
America's commitment to the security of Israel is ironclad. And I might add, so is mine.
Like all Americans, I have been inspired by Israel's long struggle to survive and to flourish. America, as always, is proud to stand with you.
The Ford administration has done a good job in helping our good ally, Israel, and we're dedicated to the survival and security of Israel.
We will continue to work together for a just peace in the Mideast, which will protect the integrity of Israel, for which people have suffered so much and sacrificed so much.
Our support for Israel and its security is not simply a policy, it's a principle.
It is my attitude that the American government couldn't stand idly by while the victims of Hitler's madness were not allowed to build new lives.
I stand in awe of the accomplishments of the Jewish people, and I make this promise to you. My administration will always stand with Israel.
There are hundreds, I will say thousands, of lawyers here in the United States and around the globe willing to defend, desiring to defend, winning these cases. This is our time, and this is our moment.
All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Again, if you want to see the full-length documentary put together by our great team here at ACLJ Films, just go to acljfilms.com, where you can find out how to watch, again, Protecting the Promised Land. You can also find out about all our other films we've made over the last decade. But Protecting the Promised Land is the new film about Israel and the current situation there. You can find that again. Just go there, easy, and see the instructions on how to watch it. ACLJfilms.com.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.